diving right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan. It's a new day. It's Thursday. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey with you. There is an atrocious football game on tonight. Denver visits the New Orleans Saints. No Rashid Shaheed, no Chris Olave, no Derek Carr, no Patrick Surtain Jr.
Nobody.
Nobody rides for free. Nobody.
Look at the NFL Network trying to hype this one up as a big return for
Sean Payton and and Cheatgate.
Yeah.
When he sent Greg Williams out to kill Brett Favre.
No, it wasn't Cheatgate. What was that called? Bountygate.
Bountygate. Yeah.
That was the one. Bountygate. Yeah, Greg Williams with two G's. And every time we bring him up, you know he's from Excelsior Springs. I don't care. Still a douche.
Yeah. A dragon can't live if he's still got his head attached to him, I think was the quote about what they should do to Brett Favre.
Slay the head or whatever they were saying, you know, take out the head and all this kind of stuff. Like, come on now. You're out there trying to injure players on purpose. Mm-hmm. That's low rent, man. It really is.
Met him once.
God forbid if they do that to Tom Brady, who will be calling the game on Sunday for the Chiefs and the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
So,
affect the head. That's what it was. Affect the head.
Okay. Yeah, affect the head, and the dragon can die. Or the monster, whatever it was. Yeah. And then Favre, what did he do? Was that actually a tweet after the game? He, showed his body of, it was, purple and green and blue, and they just...
Was Twitter around back then?
I think so. I just remember Brett Favre had... Somebody sent photos out, because I remember that, the next day, he's his leg and his, everything was bruised. This wasn't the picture that he sent out to...
Yeah, right. It wasn't a picture of him in his Crocs, right. Yeah,
with the mole and the watch.
Right.
But Tom Brady's going to do the announcing for the Chiefs game on Sunday, which I think is quite hilarious because obviously I haven't watched a lot of 3 o'clock games. If they are, it's the Kansas City Chiefs, and I watch the actual broadcast, not Red Zone. So unfortunately, I don't have a whole lot of track record or videotape on Tom Brady and his announcing skills. I have heard throughout 5 weeks it has gotten better.
That's what people have said, yes.
So I don't really necessarily have an opinion on it. The thing that I think is interesting about Sunday's game against the Niners and Tom Brady being the color commentator is that I'm interested to know how he's going to sound talking about Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is because Tom Brady on the way out handed the torch to Patrick Mahomes. Whether you want to believe it or not, whether you're a Patriots diehard, whether you're a Tom Brady diehard, Tom Brady gave Patrick Mahomes the torch.
He did. He went to the locker room and told him good he is. Yeah.
Literally, right. This happened.
Right.
And we've all seen it. We've all known it. Tom Brady, for 20 years, was the best quarterback in football. I know he was in a league with Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, mm-hmm. all these guys that were in the league with Tom Brady. Tom Brady was supreme. Because he won, because he ripped your heart out, and because he won in the regular season as well.
Right.
So everywhere he was supposed to win, Tom Brady did it. And Patrick Mahomes has now done that.
Yes, he has.
And he's been the face of the NFL for at least the last 3 years.
And maybe even a better way that Patrick Mahomes has done it too, right? There's been no kind of stop down yet. At this point of Tom Brady's career, we were in that desert of 10 years where they didn't win a championship, mm-hmm. you know?
And I'm interested to know how Brady talks about Mahomes and how he explains his play style, because all we've ever heard Tom Brady say about Patrick Mahomes are the sugar-coated, cupcaked version of, yeah, he's really great. He's a super talented quarterback. He wins a lot. He's got mm-hmm. a lot of titles. But now we're going to hear Tom Brady actually dissect Patrick Mahomes, where people could say, oh, we've heard Romo and those guys. Romo didn't play against Mahomes. Romo didn't beat Mahomes twice in the playoffs. Romo wasn't the best quarterback seeing the new guy come in, get ready to take your shoes.
No, we've never seen anything like this, right?
And so I'm wondering if it's going to feel forced for Tom Brady or if he's actually really excited to kind of tell people what he really does see in Patrick Mahomes.
I think it's going to be an unbelievable broadcast by Tom Brady. At least that's kind of the way that I'm going into it, because Tom genuinely likes Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm. genuinely respects Patrick Mahomes, understands that, hey, this cat could do things that I couldn't do, right? Like, I was really, really good, the best of all time in my era. I'm still considered the best of all time, but man, this guy's doing the stuff that I couldn't do. He makes amazing plays out there on the field. And I think it's a really good, strong relationship between those two guys, because that's all we've seen, right? There's never been any infighting. Now, if this was Jordan calling a LeBron game early on, probably be a little bit different, I would imagine, right?
Or if it was like Kobe calling
LeBron game, probably be a little bit different. But I think Tom Brady has so much respect and admiration for Patrick Mahomes that that will show on Sunday. And it should show on Sunday because, quite honestly, that's what a real man would do. I mean, like, yeah, I was really good, but by God, like, if you can't recognize that Patrick Mahomes is on track to be better than when you were, and you're trying to hold back that, you're doing it wrong on the broadcast, and then you become selfish. Like, Aaron Rodgers wouldn't say anything nice about Patrick Mahomes if he was calling a game, right? Like, he would get on there and go, I don't think that's anything special, or however Aaron Rodgers wants to handle it. I do believe that Tom Brady is genuinely excited to watch Patrick Mahomes play. Not many people go to a visiting locker room and congratulate a guy on how good he played after they just beat their ass in an AFC championship game. Tom Brady recognized, oh my God, what do they say? Talent recognizes talent, right? And Tom Brady's as talented as they come, and Patrick Mahomes may be even more talented than Tom Brady, is more talented than Tom Brady, right? And so I think Tom's going to recognize that. And if he doesn't recognize that, and he's poo-pooing, you know, Patrick Mahomes, then you can say, uh-oh, he got a little grudge on him. He doesn't want Patrick Mahomes to become the best quarterback. But I think Tom is one of those guys I could see willingly passing that torch to Mahomes.
Yeah, and to me, the interesting part is, like, how much of it are we going to hear? Because, like, sometimes you think Romo's, it's forced. Like, at first it wasn't. Like, at first Romo really was like, I don't know what this guy's capable of doing because I've never seen this type of stuff before. Everybody's like, Romo was all of us.
Right.
Collinsworth, same thing. At first it was like, okay, now it's just like, stop it.
Right. Well, they've seen him so many times.
Right.
You
and
know?
Now Brady from the booth is going to see this, and it's like, you know, I brought the numbers. Patrick Mahomes against San Francisco in the regular season is combined two games in the regular season. 49-72, 737 yards, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception. His QBR is 123.9, and he has an average completion percentage of 68.3. So he shows up against San Francisco.
Yeah, right.
Now that's 18 and 22.
Right.
Those are the 2 years, the times that they played. And in the Super Bowl, when he's played San Francisco, he's 60 of 88 for 619 yards, 4 touchdowns, 3 picks, an 88.7 QBR, and a 67.9 completion percentage. So same defense essentially over the past couple of years, Mahomes has actually been able to torch. Tom Brady might get to see something here, and I'm interested to see how many times we get the comparison of what it was like in New England as to what it is like in Kansas City. And
do
I'm
you
not
want
mad
that?
About it. I do.
You do want that, okay.
Because I want it from his perspective.
Okay.
Like, I'd want it from Bills. Yeah. I don't need it from, and this isn't a shot, I don't need it from Ryan Clark, or I don't need it from Rex Ryan, or I don't need it
somebody who wasn't there.
Right. Yeah, or knows about it enough that we're like, well, when I was in New York and, you know, sucking toes and watching feet videos, and New England Patriots, they did this. Whereas, like, you didn't know what was going on in New England, essentially, as you weren't the head coach or the quarterback. I want credibility.
Yeah.
And I want somebody like Tom Brady, who's had to literally be suffocated with comments of Kelce and Mahomes are better than Gronk and Brady.
Right.
And I want to hear him talk about, well, you know, when Gronk and I would run this similar route, this is why they might do it better.
Yeah.
And to hear him say that, or to maybe see him kind of come full circle in his career where it's like, I'm up here now, he's down there, and this is where we talk.
It's really the first time in a while that I've been intrigued by the actual television broadcast. Like, when Tony Romo first came on the scene, I think we were all very intrigued about, like, this guy just played last year. What's he going to bring to the table? And he hit the ground running. He was great in his first year. He's gotten better this year than he's been the last couple of years, but his first year, by all means, was the best. And I think going into this game, it's really probably the first time since Romo's called the game for the first time that I'm like, I'm anxious to see what Tom Brady's going to say. I watched a little of that first game, but everybody was so quick to judgment with Tom Brady in the first game. Think about the first time you ever did anything, the first day on your new job. You know, you weren't good on the first day of your new job, whatever it is. But as the weeks went by and the months went by and the games went by, you get better, you get better, you get better. Mm-hmm. And Tom Brady, I think, obviously has had 6 weeks of a body of work underneath his coat or whatever you want to say. And now he's going to have the opportunity to go out there and shine on the biggest game that he's ever done. Like, he's played in Super Bowls, right? But this is going to be the biggest game that he's ever done in the broadcast booth. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to knock it out of the park. I'm really excited to see Tom Brady and hear from Tom Brady on this one.
to be fair, I think people were quick to judge because
he
got gifted a really difficult job that he's never done before and really never prepped before. Like, didn't do any offseason training. Like, it is very evident that he is raw at this, but he's gotten better. Yeah, and Greg Olsen's
Olsen was fantastic. That's the other thing.
He is fantastic.
Best active color commentator in the game right now.
Yeah, I don't think you're stretching to say
there's
that.
There's just not
all.
Many good ones.
No, I think Brady's really better than Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez sounds like he's trying too hard.
Tries too hard.
Yeah.
And I have heard some Mark Sanchez games where I'm like, dude, bro, come on.
Yeah. 100%.
But I hope Tom doesn't try to be that guy either. Like the case of the try too hard. It's like George always talks about. It just doesn't work when you go out there and you try too hard.
Just be relaxed.
Just be yourself. Be you. Do your thing. You know, don't speak in cliches and all that kind of stuff. Be honest with what's going on.
Raw and real.
That some of the players do have a tough time being honest because they're programmed and trained for their entire career to be milquetoast and to not say anything and have some PR guy going, two more guys and moving on. They don't really have the opportunity to be humans. And so when they get into the booth a lot of times, they're still not able to be humans because they're so used to being these programmed robots by, you know, the PR staff. So hopefully Tom has shedded that because the last thing you want to hear is just a bunch of cliches from Tom Brady and he's not offering you anything.
I think he shed everything but plastic. Somebody says a good text here on the text line. Give them credit. The comparison for Brady announcing Mahomes would be the equivalent of when Jack Nicklaus had to comment on Tiger at Master or major tournaments.
Yeah.
Pretty solid there.
But was Jack a commentator?
Oh, yeah.
He was. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or he would be like the guest that he would do like basically Sunday and they'd just be like, you can do it as long as you want. Be like, on hole 15, you might as well stick around. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, major announcement. Ben Maller coming up next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5.
Diving right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, who also goes by Fantasy Mac, Tennessee Mac, Executive Producer Mac.
What do you call me? Mackenstein?
Dr. Mackenstein.
The new one. Yeah, I like
Mac and cheese.
Yep.
That's right.
Less creative, but still good.
Homemade mac and cheese, man. Tell you what.
Don't tell the kids that. Just give them the blue box and they're happy. They don't want anything else.
Parents are happy, too. It's very easy to make.
It is very
easy. Hardest part is just boiling the noodles.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs Niners on Sunday at 325.
They actually love the Hy-Vee brand now, man.
Yeah, it's not bad. The blue box.
Yeah, it's great.
It's Thursday, steak night.
Steak night at Hy-Vee, too. That's right. $10 steak. You get your taters, you get your vegetable, you get your steak for $10 only at Hy-Vee.
And Thursday also means
Ben Maller.
It is time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. Of course, you can catch him overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan. And Ben, we got a big announcement to start with today, huh? You're coming to Kansas City, my man.
I'm coming to town. I'm so fired up to come back. I visited Kansas City years ago, Bob. And I had a great time. I went to a Royals game. I've never been to a Chiefs game, but I think I'm about to correct that. And more importantly, we're going to meet the people, Bob, right? I'm going to be able to hang out with your listeners that, you know, I've been coming on with you for years and my guys in Kansas City. So I'm very excited about this. And we're going to invite everyone to come hang out with us, right?
That's exactly right. We're going to do it at the Landing in Liberty, of course, the home of the Ben Maller Chicken Fingers. And then we're going to put you on a bus and take you to your first Chiefs games, Chiefs and Broncos. I'm looking forward to having you have that Arrowhead experience because there's nothing better than I love taking somebody to Arrowhead Stadium for the first time to get that holy crap reaction.
Yeah, no, I'm fired up. I've heard stories, you know, growing up loving the NFL. I've heard stories about what Arrowhead's like, and I was in the parking lot, obviously, at the Royals game, so I saw it, but there was no NFL game that day, so I'm fired up. I want it to be a little chilly. I want the real football experience, and that's going to be in mid-November, right? I think the date is on mid-November, so yep. I'm fired up. It's a lot of fun. I'm going to eat a lot of Ben Maller chicken fingers and hang out with everybody, and it's going to be the combining the Fesco in the morning crowd and the Maller militia, and it's going to be awesome.
No, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I guess my follow-up would be, will the Chiefs have a new wide receiver by then, or are we still going to be kind of looking around coveting thy neighbor's wife with Amari Cooper going to Buffalo and Davante Adams going to the Jets?
Yeah, I mean, the trade deadline actually is right before I I visit. So we'll know by then, right, the Chiefs either have to make a trade or that's it. There's not a lot left. Like, the top two guys were Amari Cooper and Davante Adams. Davante was number one. But the good news is we have a couple more weeks for teams to fall out of contention completely, and that means there'll be another crop of players. And as I always love, Bob, the disgruntled diva wide receiver that has a meltdown because they're not getting the ball enough, that is also a possibility to be traded. So, the Chiefs will get somebody, but who that is, I have to adjust my crystal ball at this point. But they certainly haven't looked like they've needed anybody the last, I know they didn't play last week, but the game prior, they were cooking.
I want to go back. You're going to Arrowhead for the first time. You know how, like, wrestlers cut weight and how, like, people get ready for marathons, they kind of prepare themselves? You need to go buy some Fireball, and then you need to just kind of, like, go a couple days of drinking for about 8.5 hours. And then once you do that, you get to Arrowhead, you'll be right where you belong for the next for that rest of that Sunday against Denver, because there's a little extra juice that comes out for conference games. I just want to give you some fair warning, because they'll drive south and they'll come to Kansas City to watch their Broncos get beat. They do it every year. I don't know why, but they do it. But no, that's exciting, Ben. And where I want to shift this to is, we heard Aaron Rodgers throw Mike Williams under the bus. He's got his guy, Davante Adams. I know you and I both love fireworks and drama. Is there any time this year where Davante Adams might not be in the place that he's supposed to be and Aaron Rodgers throws him under the bus?
Oh, yeah. Although it's awkward, Dusty, because they're living together right there. Davante Adams moved in with Aaron Rodgers.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they're
that's like, insane.
that is a little awkward. But you know, Rodgers has such a big house; they might not even see each other. You know, it's such a big mansion. Who knows? But but what Rodgers does, he does what LeBron does—that passive aggressive stuff. So yeah, he can take a shot, but you have to use your decoder ring to interpret what Rodgers meant. And the Jets are so over the top, guys. I mean, you've seen the stories I've seen. Aaron Rodgers is talking about Davante Adams, the fountain of youth, like he's hanging out with Ponce de Leon. And you got the Jets coach, Ulbrich, the interim coach, who's comparing Davante Adams to T.O. and Jerry Rice, the relationship between the two Jets receivers. He's like, that's the kind of impact. I mean, it's just completely over the top. And the Jets, I mean, this weekend is pretty much, they got to beat the Steelers. If they don't beat the Steelers, it seems unlikely they're going to get to enough wins to even sniff the playoffs down the line. But yeah, with Aaron Rodgers, it's always, every week with Pat McAfee, there's a little drama every week. They got to add a little layer to it.
Talking with Ben Maller here at Fox Sports Radio, and drama is what we love, right? We absolutely love the drama in the sports radio world. But this one is just kind of like over-the-top drama, because I don't know how much better the Jets become because of Davante Adams. They still have Aaron Rodgers, and they still have that offensive line, and they still have an interim head coach. How much better can they be?
Well, they should have, you know, Rodgers, you say shoulda, coulda, woulda. I mean, they've had four game-winning drives, I believe it is, now with Rodgers in the final couple minutes down where they needed a touchdown or even a field goal, and they're 0-4 with Rodgers. I mean, it's mind-boggling. And then people say, well, he wasn't that good in Green Bay and all that. Like, I don't think Davante Adams is that going to make the Jets go from like a 7-win team to a 10-win team or anything like that. But, you know, I'm more worried about the drama and all that. The Jets have a lot of issues. They should not have lost that game to Buffalo on Monday night, and the fact that they did, it's if you're a Jets fan, I don't know. I mean, even Fireman Ed's upset. I mean, everyone's annoyed with what's going on with the Jets, because the names are good. You know, you see this all the time in sports. The names are really, you know, solid names, but it just, the puzzle pieces don't fit together. They haven't fit together there.
Who's the threat to the Chiefs right now? Is there more than one?
Well, in a playoff situation, Dusty, I don't see anybody. I don't trust the Ravens. Everyone's all excited about the Ravens. Their defense isn't all that good. And I know they came close to beating the Chiefs, and they had, you know, the foot and, you know, out of bounds or whatever that first game of the year. But I don't see it. The Texans haven't impressed me, even though they've got a good record. If there is someone, it's likely in the NFC. Because the AFC, I look at the landscape in the AFC, I don't see anybody that's there that has it. Because Lamar Jackson, you know, he's going to have the same issues in the playoffs he has every year. Buffalo's not as good as they have been. And the other teams, you just kind of middling teams that you don't take seriously. So it would have to be somebody like the Niners if they get Christian McCaffrey back. I know that's the big game this weekend, the Chiefs and the Niners, and we'll get a preview of possibly another matchup down the line. I don't trust Minnesota, even though they've got the great record. They're undefeated also. So to answer your question, I don't really see anyone on the horizon as we head into Week 7.
You know, we were playing a little game on our Instagram account for 96.5 The Fan. You can follow us on the Insta. And they asked us if you could either choose a healthy CMC or a healthy Debo and put him in the KC lineup, who would you pick? I go with CMC in that. Who do you go with?
Yeah, I would go with McCaffrey because he's a better player. Debo Samuel, though, I like the Rams. He destroys the Rams every year. He, like, owns the Rams. But overall, who's the guy that's going to make more of an impact? It would absolutely be Christian McCaffrey, who they say is going to come back soon, but they've been saying that for a couple of weeks. You know, it feels like it's one of these things they keep pushing the can, kicking the can down the road and all that. But this is actually a sneaky game. But I look at some of the numbers here. I was getting ready for the TV show, and they're like, you know, Andy Reid's record after the bye week and Mahomes. I mean, these guys together have been amazing. But the Niners also, when the point spread's been low like this, I know from a gambling angle, they've also done very well. So you've got these two amazing teams, although the Niners are certainly more injured, hard to say, than the Chiefs, considering the Chiefs have their own share of injuries. But the Niners have three or four guys out on defense. So I'm looking forward to watching the game this weekend. But to answer your question again, Christian McCaffrey's the right answer.
Ben, I'm interested, before we let you go here in a little bit, I'm really interested to see what you do at Kansas City in the Arrowhead Stadium atmosphere for the first time. Can't get over that. But I'm really interested to know, when you look at the NFL and you look at where this season is kind of headed, as we're kind of through the first trimester, as we were educated very well on our text line, when you look at the NFC versus the AFC, it's kind of like it's done a swap. Like, the AFC is wide open. Like, there's going to be a team below 500, I feel like, make a wild card spot in the AFC. And the NFC is just a complete dogfight. Is that because, like, quarterback development has finally kind of gotten better in the NFC, or is it just one of those fluke years where, you know, this is now the time where it started to shift?
Yeah, I think it's just a fluky situation. I mean, the Bengals are not supposed to suck as much as they suck, right? I mean, they're terrible.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, Joe Burrow's been playing great. They've lost three games they could have won, they should have won, that would have turned things around. Like, the NFC, if you look at the top, like, Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, they're not a top team, but he's fallen off a little bit. There's, like, these guys that we thought were climbing up the ladder at quarterback are not. They've stopped. There's a broken part of the ladder, and there's several of those guys. And yet, like, and there's other people that I don't trust, like Sam Darnold in Minnesota. Like, he's playing great. I like the Vikings defense. I don't trust that in a big spot Sam Darnold's going to be the guy that will get it done. But it, you know, Dusty, we talk about, I remember you, with you and Bob, we were talking about what's going to happen. We had it all mapped out, and then they start playing the games, and everything goes up in smoke by week 7, right? Mm-hmm. All our tremendous off-season analysis of what was going to happen completely crumbles by week 7.
Well, you mentioned smoke, and we'll leave you with this. We got a dumpster fire of a game tonight. Denver at New Orleans. Does Peyton, get his flowers for going back to New Orleans?
Well, I don't know if he's going to get flowers, but he is going to get a W in that game. The Saints, their backup quarterback. Well, Derek Carr's got his own issues, but the kid filling in, not good. That's a turnover machine. So the Broncos, who have a pretty good defense, will win tonight.
Ben, we appreciate the time as always. Looking forward to Mallorpalooza coming up in November, around the 8th, 9th, 10th that weekend. Looking forward to eating chicken fingers and giving you your first Arrowhead experience.
I can't wait, guys. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to have a blast with you guys and the listeners, and hope to meet everybody. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio coming to Kansas City the weekend of the Denver game here in KC. That game is on the what day? The 10th of November. So we'll have Mallorpalooza on the 9th, sometime that afternoon at the Landing up in Liberty. Clear your calendars, make plans. Maller's coming to KC, and you kind of prepped them a little bit there, Dusty, about having that first Arrowhead experience. What do you tell somebody who's having their first Arrowhead experience? How should they experience Arrowhead for the first time?
Recording finished.
Yes.
I think what you need to do, and this is I've probably been to Arrowhead, I don't know, 30, 35 times.
Okay.
I've done every sort of type of tailgate you can do. I've right. done the, hey, let's just go there, park, go into the game type of thing. Didn't really want to mess with it. It was like, I think it was like a night game.
Mm-hmm.
I've done the, it's a noon game, get there 5:30 in the morning, wait in line, get housed by 11. And then I've done the 3:25 games before where it's, you know, you can get there at your own cadence. You can get there at 10 a.m. You still have plenty of time. Pace yourself. Get into the game feeling good about 2:30. But I would get with somebody, which I know he will be, that kind of knows what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. He's going with us on the bus.
And
yeah.
just kind of follow their lead. However you want to intake it. I mean, maybe you are a person of sobriety, so it's a little different than you might think that it might be for other people. But normally when I go, I take my own cooler. I take enough that I know I'll get buzzed with, because you know when you go to a tailgate, Sydney's got shots.
Oh, yeah.
Greg's got the have you ever had this Fireball?
Yep. Like, yes. Oh, yeah. If you don't go to Arrowhead if you go without Fireball yeah. to Arrowhead, did you really go yeah. to Arrowhead?
Like, somebody's got that.
It's the only time I drink Fireball is in that parking lot, right? Right?
Somebody's got pudding shots that you don't think have a lot of booze in them, but they'll yep. sneak on you. Jello shots, regular shots, fruity shots. Somebody's got a keg. Or you know how this works. Hey, our buddies right over there have also a tailgate. We got to go over there. You got to go do this. So also what I would also advise someone to do, which is what I've done multiple times. I know I'm weird. I do it at the Ocean. I walk down. I go by myself mm-hmm. and I just kind of take it all in and do a 360. Do that at Arrowhead
yeah.
because it's impressive. Like, you'll see flags flying, you'll see cars, you'll see people on top of cars, you'll see buses,
yep.
you'll see, you know, a lot of different like sort of scenes. You'll hear a lot of music, you'll smell different smells. Nowadays you'll smell two different
yep.
smells.
A lot of smells.
You'll
yes.
get barbecue and you'll get Willie Nelson's braids.
Yep.
And you'll have a great time. And then when you walk in and you get to your seat for the first time, you'll just kind of endure that gigantic, you know, coliseum that is GHA and Arrowhead Stadium. And like, it's a beautiful sight, man. It really is. And I think you say, don't take things for granted.
Yeah.
We're prisoners of the moment. We all know what Arrowhead is. Like, when I went to the Denver Broncos Stadium for the first time and I saw the mountain range in the west and yeah. saw that the sun was setting behind it,
it's
like
beautiful.
I was just like, yeah. wow, that's really cool. And the guy behind me is like, yeah, they're mountains, bro. I'm like, you're from here.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen
you
this.
You
want
to do it better, go to Coors Field and go up into
Been
the right there. Field
yeah.
bar.
Done
oh
that.
My God.
But that's awesome.
Spectacular. Like, you don't even watch the
so,
game.
Yeah,
you know?
I would go in there full fanboy, like full, like never been to New York City Times Square before.
I love taking people to places that they've never been before, you know, like, yeah. like taking friends from college back to New Jersey and letting them experience New York City for the first time is awesome. Taking somebody to Arrowhead for the first time is an awesome experience. You know, you don't have a lot of those in life where you get the opportunity to take somebody to a place for the first time that you've experienced for a long period of time. And to see their reaction. I like watching mm-hmm. the reaction through the people. It's kind of what I do with my kids now, too. You take them places, yeah. you watch the reaction that they have, and you kind of live through them and see how they're responding to the moment.
And it's also important to you and friends to not be, and I know you're not, to not be the guy where you got to be like, wait for this.
Yeah, hey, now, come here, wait for this guy. Yeah.
Just let them experience, like, oh, I never knew that they did, like, Home of the Chiefs that loud. You're like,
yeah,
told you. Or, hey, wait for the flyover. Because, one, you don't know what type of flyover it is. And also, let them experience if it is the B-52 or if it is the guys that jump out of the plane. That could be a military appreciation game, too.
Right. November is Military Appreciation Month. Yeah.
So it could be one of those where the guys jump out in the parachutes, and it's really cool how they land that.
Dude,
and
would you ever do that, though?
No.
Chance.
No. I won't even ride a roller coaster harnessed in, let alone jump out of the plane.
I won't go on the Ferris wheel at Shields anymore, you know, so.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like somebody says in the text line, I definitely like to walk around by myself and go into different parts of the stadium. Opening day, I will do that every year at Kauffman Stadium. Mm-hmm. I will walk the stadium twice all the way around. One, because it's a good way to get a quick little exercise in.
It is,
but
yeah.
Two, you go to stadiums and you connect in different ways, right? Either it's, you know, the smell of food or, you know, the sightseeing and the people watching, or it's, you know, little kids having that experience of like being in a big league ballpark out of school, like in fifth grade or something, or it's, you know, a couple's going there enjoying the game, or, you know, you run into the pregame show and you're like, oh, that's where they do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Arrowhead's one of those ones, man, where like
it's a different stadium. Like, you get below it, it gets kind of dark down there in those tunnels, and you're like, where am I at? Yeah. And you're like, they really need to renovate this.
Oh, big time. When you get into a crowded stadium here in Kansas, like, after the baseball postseason, you realize renovations and all that kind of stuff. New stadiums are needed. I guess Clark spoke on that yesterday at the owners' meeting and said they're weighing offers from both sides of the state line, which is what we told you they were going to do. And if you're one of those folks who isn't going to go, if they end up building the stadium in Kansas, we'll take your name down and give it to them, because somebody else will take your seat on that one. So, but yeah, you realize when you're in these packed environments how antiquated now these stadiums are and how they need to be expanded. You get kind of claustrophobic. But Arrowhead, like, Ben's been to NFL games, but he's never been to a real NFL game. Like, going to games in L.A.
There's a reason why they talk about this stadium and this crowd nationally.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason.
Absolutely there is, because it's wonderful. It's a great experience. And when you experience for the first time, you're just like, does everybody remember their first Arrowhead experience? Mine was in 1995, and it was Giants and Chiefs in 95. And I remember going there for the first time and going, oh, my God, I've never experienced anything like this before. And those were the days of, you know, we're going to beat the hell out of you and you and you and you and you. Like, I miss that song. I know Gary Glitter's a piece of trash, right? But that song and that environment that day, that made a lasting impression on me. I'll never forget that. That was awesome.
When was the Lynn Elliott game? 93?
97.
97?
Yeah.
That was mine.
That was your first Arrowhead experience. It was a playoff game. That's pretty
that's
cool.
That's awesome.
Because it was so cold that, like, my dad's like representatives were like, yeah, you can go. And then I went, I'm not going to go. I think that might have been with my stepdad.
No, that's cool. The first one you get to go to is a playoff game. Yeah.
And then my second one, I mean, it doesn't matter, but then my second playoff game was the no punt game.
Yeah. That was a bad one.
And then my third one was the Baltimore Ravens game where they scored first. Jamal Charles, I think, took it like 50 yards.
And then ended up losing 35-7.
Never scored again.
Yeah, that was it. That's the one where Charlie Weiss literally left at halftime and went up to the pizza shop that he was hanging out at in the Northland. And people said, you're making up that story. I'm like, no, I'm not, because my friend was sitting at the bar and Charlie Weiss walked in and sat down and aren't you supposed to be calling the game? And Charlie's like, I'm out. I quit.
Coming up, it's our favorite segment. It is Smash or Pass. And Bob will probably tell you a bunch of things you can smash and never pass at Smokehouse. When we get back, we'll do our two new items on Smash or Pass. Plus, we'll be joined by the head coach of the Crest Ridge Cougars that are looking for money to get their stadium, as they are one of 16 finalists in that T-Mobile contest. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. Dusty Likas, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
I love this segment. I was Smash or Pass is what we are referencing here, or Smash. I am. That's hilarious. Because I was talking to Cody and Zeke a couple weeks ago, who do 106.5 The Wolf. And she goes, do you have that 11 o'clock stomach yet? And I was like, 11 o'clock stomach? She goes, yeah, we're always starving when we leave
starving,
here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it's there. I'm like, we get to like 9:30, 9:45. I'm like, man, do I do breakfast? Do I just hold off?
I usually hold off to about 1 o'clock.
I did that yesterday. Yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm going to wait till like 12:30.
They, as I use the air quotes, say it's healthy to eat the kind of, like, you know, as from like 1 to 7 or 1 to 6 or whatever it is, and then fast the rest of the time, I guess. I don't know.
That's how I lost a lot of weight, was fasting.
Did you really? That intermittent fasting? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I started at 10 and I ended at 6.
Okay.
And I did it for 4 weeks a month.
Right.
And my meals were, I did zero fast food.
Yeah.
I only drank coffee, tea, and water.
Yep.
And I walked 2.5 miles a day.
Yeah.
And my lunch was always, my breakfast was always a smoothie and a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
My lunch was always like something very little, but also like high in protein. So like 2 chicken thighs.
Right.
And then for dinner, I would, you know, I'd eat a normal meal. It just wouldn't be fast food. I'd like grill salmon, Brussels sprouts, or I'd do like pasta and bread. I just wouldn't, you know, do anything else. And I mean, it was to the book, Daddy. It was like 10 a.m. I didn't start until then. And I had to eat by 6. Like, if it was 6:05, I didn't eat that night. I'm dead serious.
You're done. Yeah.
And I was from 2:50 to 2:01.
And you have to be that way. I mean, that's the way that, you know, that I do it. You got to kind of follow that plan and stick to it. Otherwise, you veer off. It's so easy, you know, to veer off. But I was reading something the other day, you know, and I don't know if this is breaking news or anything, but, you know, they, again, with the air quotes, lunch should be your biggest meal of the day because it gives you the most time to get kind of through your system and, and whatever. I shouldn't say your biggest. They say breakfast should be your biggest because as the day goes on, you use that as energy. The smallest meal of the day you should technically be eating is dinner. But for whatever reason, all of us load up at dinner time, you know?
And, yeah, because it's easy. You don't have anything else to do.
Yeah, right. You kind of pack it away for the evening and then your stomach doesn't digest it and move through all that kind of stuff. Now that we've discussed old age here on 96.5 The Fan and ways to lose weight, keep away from the fast food as well. I mean, that'll be a killer for you every time.
Just tough when there's a Chick-fil-A right across the street.
But you know what? The Chick-fil-A breakfast sandwich on the whole grain muffin, the grilled chicken, man, with egg white, that's legit. Side of fruit, keep the cheese off it. You're good to go. You're good to go with that. That's an amazing healthy breakfast over there at Chick-fil-A.
You eat a whole damn box of those little minis.
Oh, get the grilled ones, though. You get the grilled nuggets. There's no breading on them. They're grilled. Throw them on top of your salad. You're good to go.
Smash or pass?
Oh, I thought we had a
smash.
Okay.
That's what you get.
That's what we get, smash. Sounds like the guy from Saw.
Hello. Smash.
Hello, Mac. For years, you've been in Tennessee rooting for the Titans.
Ew.
Yeah.
Never.
Now, this week's Smash or Pass comes from one Bob Fesco.
Yeah, you get recipes emailed to you every day, right? You end up on these lists. And one came yesterday or 2 days ago, and I looked at it originally, and I'm like, oh, my God, what are we doing here? And then you're like, no, this is legit. Asparagus casserole.
Sign me up.
Asparagus casserole. It's basically your green bean casserole with asparagus instead of green beans. And once we kind of figured that out, I'm like, oh, I'm totally in on that.
Yeah. I'm going to make it for Thanksgiving.
I think that's a good idea.
Just to see how it goes.
Yeah.
Because of what you brought up, because you're like, oh, asparagus casserole. I'm like, that just got to be green bean casserole, though, right? With asparagus in it?
For the most part, it was.
And at Hy-Vee, you can buy those like asparagus tips like that are tossed in Parmesan cheese. So I'm just basically going to take a green bean casserole recipe and do the asparagus
instead of the green beans. Yeah.
Which, I mean, everyone's pea is going to sting for a month.
Which is great. I love it. I don't mind
you
it.
You like that?
It doesn't bother me at all. I like leaving it in the toilet for my wife to smell, too.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Sometimes I am. I can be. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's disgusting.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
It's weird how instantly it hits your urine.
It does or it doesn't, though. There are some people who can't smell that, and they have anti-asparagus senses is what I've been told. So
that's weird.
Yeah, you don't want to have that. But it makes me feel like I'm healthy when I smell that pee. You know, it's like, I just ate asparagus. Here's the health.
Am I like messed up or do I need to see like a doctor? Because you know me, I drink coffee every morning. I brew my own coffee. The only thing that goes in it is almond milk. Every single morning, that urine smells like coffee.
No, it should. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What now? Sometimes it smells like Cheerios. Morning. Do you ever have your urine smell like Cheerios before? No? Never had that one?
No.
My urine usually just smells like urine, but maybe that's just me.
Well, because you're still very young and not healthy.
I think
it's not true.
I think the healthier you are, the more your urine smells.
I think you're in this category by yourself.
That's a BS. It's because you're young. You're unhealthy. Let's just do stereotypes all day.
Well, it's true. I mean, like, when I was your age, I was like 100 pounds.
Yeah, you're stuff. Yeah, exactly.
You're just a fat piece of garbage with great metabolism and hair.
That's exactly right.
How dare you be young?
Yeah, you suck.
Yeah, take that, Rod Stewart. He is forever young.
He is. Yeah. I'm jealous. Not going to lie. I wish I was back to the days where my urine didn't smell like vegetables.
My urine just smells like death is coming. Every morning, I'm like, we're getting there. Somebody from the 417 says I have Cheerio P, too.
See? What is that? Okay. Yeah. If you have Cheerio P, 913-586-7965, let me know what that is. Because I don't eat Cheerios. It's not like I'm, housing a box of Cheerios.
Your son does.
Alex does.
Eats them raw, plain, no milk, nothing.
It's a nice snack. It's a nice pick-me-up in the middle of the afternoon,
when you're
I guess.
Sick.
Does he eat the honey nut variety?
No.
It's a honey nut Cheerio.
Seems like those 4-year-olds are coming to Jack Stack and eating,
and
put them all,
throw
on the
them all on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Like, unbelievable. But you know what? At 14 and 15, they're still throwing them on the floor, too. Never changes.
Yep. The other smasher pass was, what was it?
Puff tacos made with that puff pastry that you can buy, like, you know, the Pillsbury puff pastry, and wrapping the taco meat and all that. Those looked amazing to me. I thought those were fantastic.
Yeah, that, place it's like blown up around the metro, the Albalerdos.
Dude, there's a ton of those around now.
I'm a big fan. And they have on Tuesdays, it's 5 tacos for $5.99.
You can do like hard, soft, or like puffy tacos.
Okay.
And it's amazing.
They're fantastic. So you guys going to smash those puffy tacos?
On Tuesday?
Like a crescent roll, basically, as your shell with the taco meat inside. I thought they looked pretty good.
You can smash after you smash.
Yeah, right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, yeah, honestly, if I cheat and splurge at Taco Bell, I always get a chalupa.
You do?
Always.
You go chalupa. Huh?
Well, what I always get is like that cravings box.
Yeah.
Because like I'm like three sheets to the wind, can't go anywhere. I'm like a Friday night.
Yeah.
It's like $7.99 and you have DoorDash on your phone. I'm like, yeah, cravings box. It was a 5-layer burrito, a chicken chalupa.
That 5-layer burrito looks really good. Yeah,
it's really good when your eyes are cached and you have nowhere to go. And you're like, oh, 5-layer burrito, Doritos Locos Taco, a chicken chalupa and chips and cheese and a Baja Blast for $7.99. Yeah.
See, when I was young and Max age, back in the college days, Poncheros we used to go to and get like a 5-pound burrito.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. And I wouldn't have seconds.
No.
Oh, God. I go get Pizza Shuttle, have the twofer, have the burrito. I was 300 pounds, folks. Didn't happen easily.
Whoa.
Then magically get put on me.
That's impressive.
Beer, burritos, and pizza. That was a Tuesday.
We had ponchos, so we didn't have. That was the Blue Springs thing.
Yeah. 842-1212. Get that pizza shuttle in here, baby. Give me that twofer. Let's go to Poncheros. Get a burrito.
Somebody says, please, Dusty, go into detail about the puffy taco. What is that? So it's like it's basically like a chalupa shell. It's like a lightly fluffy deep fried shell. And in the middle, they have chicken and cheese, or you can do like beef, or you can do whatever. On their Tuesday, and then in the box, it just comes with lettuce and get the green salsa, chips, and
do
queso.
Do they only sell it on Tuesdays for Taco Tuesdays?
No, you can do whatever, but it's only $6 on Tuesday.
On
you get
Tuesday,
five,
yeah,
and
that's
I only
a good
eat
deal.
Like three.
Right.
So then I got two left over for seconds or after seconds if I want some more. But yeah, that queso dipped on top of that.
That sounds really good, yeah. Give me the puffy taco every day. Let's go.
That's right. We've talked about this all week, and we're trying to do our due diligence in doing something nice. Crest Ridge Cougars, they're looking for a grant from T-Mobile. They're one of 16 finalists, and their Instagram page, it's gone from 19,000 likes on Monday morning to now they're over 32,000. They win the contest. They get money and stuff for their stadium, their equipment. We will have their head coach of their football team. He joins us next on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.